Today on our program, we are visiting with John Rosa, Landfill Administrator, Recycling Coordinator for Boone County. Good to have you back.
Yeah, good to be here. Good morning.
Hey,
how are you?
Well, didn't blow away or anything. But,
Ooh, that was a good one.
Yeah, wasn't overly long or anything like that. You guys were already shut down, so it didn't bother you too much.
That helped, yeah.
Being shut down helped immensely, but... then you get to go in there and look at what does an inch and a half of rain or so do in 15 minutes when it's running off the face out there. A little bit of erosion?
Yeah, a little bit. Presents some challenges, I guess.
And you do take steps to prevent erosion as much as you can.
We do. Yeah.
It's a challenge.
Yeah.
Anyway. Here to talk about landfill, recycling, and everything else. We did our on-the-road household hazardous waste event. How'd that go?
Okay, yeah.
Okay. We'd always like it to be better, I'm guessing.
Yeah. Well, it used to be really good, it seems like. I remember years ago, there would be 100 cars that we would shuffle through there in that two-hour stint. But it was about 35 or something this year. So we've noticed a downtick, I guess, in the... And the number, the quantity that we've been getting during those times, but maybe it's advertising, maybe it's knowledge, maybe it's, I don't know, maybe it's people are getting rid of their stuff and then not accumulating as much, or the other times when we're using the Saturdays that we've been doing year-round now on the first Saturdays of the month. I don't know.
Yeah, if you get a few coming in or people calling for appointments, I know they still do that.
Yep, we sure do.
So... Before it was it.
Yeah.
You know,
that was your time.
But that's still, I still remember back in the olden days when found this barrel in a shed. I think it's full of maybe arsenic or something like that. Because, I mean, they used it back then.
Yeah. And hopefully that's gone away.
I'm pretty sure it is. We're talking several years ago.
Yes.
Yep. When we first started doing this, those were. Man, there was some there.
Surprise.
Yeah. You know. Well, and it just so happened, you know, because people were using different kinds of things. And I don't know exactly what this is, but it's been in here for a long time.
Yeah.
So
I'm not sure why great-grandpa had that in here, but it's time to get rid of it.
And it's in the basement, too. Yeah. And, you know, we're trying to clear this out. But, I mean, that is still one of the things. There are things that people set aside, don't take care of. Old herbicides, old insecticides. I mean, these are things that I know there was a reason I kept that, but it escapes me now.
So. Yep, and then it's time to get rid of it. So those are the collection events where people can bring that stuff in. So, yep.
We did pretty good.
Yeah, it's all right.
There were certain things, obviously. I'm pretty sure you maybe had one or two. Maybe they didn't bring any latex.
I think there was a couple.
They have good intentions.
But. Right. Yep.
Oh, I can?
And it's a good opportunity to educate folks during that time. What do I do with it? And then we get the opportunity to say it's actually just going to be regular garbage. You just need to dry it out. So crack the lid open, let it sit, let it dry. If you're impatient, throw some kitty litter in there, something to absorb it. But that's the extent what you do with latex paint that you're just not going to use anymore. We'd always encourage using it. Donate it to somebody, local theaters, if they could do small projects with it. Mix it all together. If you have several gallons of it, you can put it in a 5-gallon bucket and make that beautiful, I think it's a beige. Yeah,
beige.
Whatever
color that is.
You get a one-time use out of it that way, and then paint one more thing with it.
I would say it's not even gunmetal gray.
It's just blah.
Yeah. those are things, and I can remember in the past, that's some of the things that were done. Oh, yeah, bring your latex paint. We'll mix them all together. I don't know where they all painted or what they all painted, but it didn't last long. I know that was covered quickly because. But so, again, latex paint, that's one of them, too. I always get a kick out of the explosives. And we'll take gasoline, but we don't want explosives.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Not a lot of people are parting with gasoline either. So.
No.
But occasionally somebody comes along, I think this is kerosene, but I don't know. I don't have any use for it. You know, there are things like that.
Yep.
Anyway, household hazardous waste. We're going to be back to our Saturday one on July 6th, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yep. July 6th back at the landfill on that one. Same thing in August and September. And then October, the Saturday one, is down in Madrid.
Okay. Plan is St. Malachy's, I'm guessing,
yes,
at this time.
Yep, so the usual. Yes.
And you do have part of the cleanup crew, part of Metro Cut, does come up for some of this. So. Yeah. And I'm guessing they're liking the fact that we're seeing smaller amounts. Unfortunately, and again, the thing we want to emphasize, this is just household. Again, farmers, you got your own issue. Metro works with them on that.
Yep, they will. Just to clarify, the farmers are classified as a business. So any business stuff can still be handled that way, but it costs for the disposal at that point. So residents get to, because it's a small quantity generator, very small quantity generator is the phrase. That residents would have. So we're talking smaller amounts. Even if someone has, you know, larger 5-gallon buckets of whatever, a pesticide, herbicide that they've been using for a long time, you can talk to us about it, see how it's best handled. But if it's a classified as a business, then be the same way. We can still help with it. We can save you a trip to Bondurant. You're just going to have to pay for the disposal of it if it's coming from a business. So
I know a lot of times you guys emphasize, please, if you can use it, find a way to use it.
Yep. That's don't just dump it in the ground or down the sewers or, you know, to get rid of it that way. But, you know, use those things that you bought it for. If you must spray, then if you have some of that, then please use it up. If you're talking about a herbicide or something, a pesticide, but don't just, broadcast it just to get rid of it. That would have runoff and waste into our waterways and such. So
don't want that either.
So. Yep, especially like last night. If you sprayed before that went through, I'm guessing there would be some runoff of chemicals going into water. Ways, so
even if it says
be timely with
dries
that.
Within so long, you get that kind of rain, something's washing off.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, let's see some of the other things they'd want to ask about. Let's talk a little bit about the presentation you have for the supervisors today. This is at the landfill, one of the long projects that we've kicked around back and forth, up and down for a while. But was it Pine Creek?
Yep.
Pine Creek. But supervisors actually saw an initial agreement. You had talked to them, talked about this in the past, but they were not comfortable with the terms and the length of the terms.
Yeah.
So they went to work on this, and apparently we got some things resolved.
Yeah, I think we're headed in the right direction, getting closer. I don't know if we're going to move forward with it today, but hopefully soon, trying to get it locked down, I guess. But they proposed a gas rights agreement, Pine Creek did, to us, going back and forth. Like you said, the terms, it was locking us in for quite a long period of time, so we tried to shorten that up a little bit and then allow for renewals on a regular basis beyond that, and got a little more comfortable with that timeline, what we're talking about, some terms as far as royalties back to us for our involvement in it as well. So getting some things ironed out, talked to insurance, and it just seems to linger around a little details, but I think we're getting there, knock on wood, but hopefully there'll be some agreement coming soon. So I've been saying that for a while, we keep getting closer. I think we're a little more comfort level now, and it's better. So yeah, hopefully it's going to be happening. Timeline, probably looking at calendar year of 2026 before we'd be up and fully operational.
I mean, the thing is, once you get an agreement, and then it's up to them, when is it going to fit into our plans, our expansion?
Yep.
What's going on? So
yep, that's right.
So. And no, there will be no immediate changes about, well, yes, we'll take all yard waste. no, we're not. That's the thing we touched on in the past, too. But you had a quandary there. What do we want to put in there?
Yeah.
How do we continue to preserve our space? And, we can let them mine what's there, harvest the methane that's there. Yep. That's fine. We'll still try to extend our life as much as we can.
Yep, that's right. And it's interesting, too, the flow that I've seen from what they're showing is, the maximum output of stuff, of methane that is generated from garbage. Of course, it depends what you're putting in there. Mm-hmm. But typically, they show a chart, like the first couple years of after you bury something, it's not producing it as at its prime. You're talking like 5 years down the road that it's really starting to hit its prime. methane production, I guess, of whatever is buried. So, you know, hitting that timeline when it's being produced, and that's what you're pulling from. So, you know, they're benefiting now from the tonnage we've been throwing in there the last decade. You know, it's prime, essentially. It's hitting that timeline. Okay. And then what we're going to do now in the future, you know, we're cutting back on our tonnage, but is it still going to be organics versus C&D, you know, construction demolition waste, which still produces some, but not to the extent where, you know, food and MSW, municipal solid waste, there's organics, branches, leaves, you know, the yard waste stuff, which when we have a system in place, we could start burying that. So, you know, you're spot on with what do you decide to do? Well, are you going to put this in there, but you're wasting space, but is it going to be good for the methane production? Is that a good thing to do? So these are the challenges, I guess. It's never really clear cut to say, do this, it's going to be perfect. And, you know, we're trying to balance everything out.
Even prior to going back 10 years, we go back a little further than that. Some of that yard waste compost was being used as part of the cover.
Yeah.
So, again, just still adding to what potentially could be harvested.
That's right.
Yep. So, because the landfill is a pretty sizable space. It's been there for quite a while.
Yes.
A lot of things have been buried out there. A lot. So what I'm curious is, have they talked to you a little bit about, you know, did they go test like the older portions? And I mean, are we talking 20, 30 years ago? Mm-hmm. And are they finding sources from that? Because things change over the years on what people were throwing away.
Yeah, it sure has. When they did their test sampling, they dug down a ways and got into wet areas, and it was kind of interesting for me anyway, that where water was still sitting, basically trapped inside the landfill. We're always trying to get that water. It's good. It's oxygen. It's supposed to help with decomposition of waste, adds more weight, so pushes down compaction, all those good things about it. But, you know, all that water sitting in there, is that good? Where it needs to be flowing sometime, too, either going out as leachate and collected, harvested, and, you know, and sent to where it's supposed to go. But if it's sitting in there, then, you know, nothing's moving through there, too. So water that comes in is going to spurt out the side and cause seeps. But they did those tests, found water at certain levels, but then they did go around. We pulled out our old maps to show where the old areas were from 30 years ago, and, you know, the original stuff back to, you know, 70s. They didn't really go into that too much, but they did hit the 20, 30 year old areas, and it was still producing at a very high amount.
Whatever's considered to be a high amount for them.
Well, their number, I don't know what they were basing it on, you know, centimeters per cubic, whatever, liter, whatever the thing is, whatever the label is behind that. It was in the 60s, and they wanted to be in the 50s. So, you know, 40s and 50s were good, solid numbers, and we were hitting upper 50s and in the 60s in spots. And it was pretty consistent throughout the old areas, the new areas, the medium-aged areas. So it was pretty consistent all over, and that was good. You know, we're producing methane. I don't know if that's good, but good for this purpose anyway.
I mean, for landfills, it's, don't want to. And on the other side, we've always talked about our size. Were we at the size where it was suitable? Technology, again, does help make that available.
That's right. So. Yeah. It was always that magic number of 100,000 ton a year. That was what they engineers said. That was the amount that you'd probably need to have to justify putting in a methane system. And that's probably your own investment, you know, of in your return. But yeah, the technology changed. I think things have improved, making it more accommodating for us smaller landfills. I think what we have available too is the company we're working with is looking at making it into a renewable natural gas and then putting it right back into the pipeline, which we have a pipeline going just on the north side of us till not very far away. We're talking, you know, yards away instead of miles away. So, you're talking getting it into the grid. I know that was like with wind energy back in the day was, you could do this. You could put a wind turbine in this area. You're gonna get fair winds, but a bigger thing was how far do you have to go to connect to the system, to the grid, get that power back into the system. And same thing here, you know, how far away is the pipeline? It's pretty darn close. So I think that's a good selling point for us as well.
Big thing, and now that we're getting towards the end of the fiscal year and a new one coming up, but do you do have a working arrangement with Story County Ames, Ames Resource Recovery? And again, some of the issues that have come up in the past is their intent on some of their recycling or reusing and you know, resource recovery. And again, technology at the time, the idea was good, but technology did not permit to operate as efficiently as they thought it would.
Yeah.
Again, still one of those they're trying to retrofit, still trying to do that. And we still have some issues with the amount that's still coming.
Yeah. And
bottom line is, we're still having issues.
Yes. Yeah. So their system, you know, built back in mid-70s, Ames has seen some changes over the past, 50 years now, that and their system really hasn't changed to accommodate it. They switched to at the power plant to gas, natural gas burning instead of coal, and there were some issues with that and the and what it was made for, and was it made to burn that stuff, and the, probably different temperatures and how it burned. So they ran into some issues with that, but really they're looking at what are we going to be doing in the future. And this, some of the discussions I've heard is, you know, that we don't really, they don't really know. They talked about a feasibility study to be more elaborate and do more and burn more, and you know, not just the regular MSW, but could they, you know, grind up 2x4s? Could they, you know, process some of that stuff that would, you know, burn at higher BTUs, shingles, you know, would that be a possibility? But then more, I think they looked at the dollar figure to be like, wow, that's a significant chunk of change we got to put out there. So it's more like, well, I don't know. And so it's really unsettled times, frankly, for that area. I'm not trying to, you know, take their news or spread any rumors.
Well,
it's just what I'm hearing about.
Part of it is but, you're the end recipient.
Yeah.
I mean, Boone County Landfill is the end recipient for a lot of this.
Yeah, that's what it has been. And we are changing with that, too. It's ever closer until the paperwork is official, but we're looking at July 15th to be the cutoff this year, July 15th of 24, the end of the C&D coming from Story County to our landfill. So that's helpful for us. It takes money away from us, but honestly, it's coming down to space. That's what it's all about. We're trying to save our airspace for our primary service area, which is Boone and Greene County. Essentially, I'll just... That's the bulk of it. So to prolong that as much as possible, we're looking at if we would continue doing it how we're doing it now, we're going to be done in like 13 years. That's a little scary. Instead, if we can change and get rid of the C&D from Story County, which is, you know, anywhere from 15 to 24,000 ton a year, depending on how many storms go through and hailstorms and derechos and blah blah blah. All those, but also then if you take into account the MSW, the cleanouts, the, you know, trash that they can't burn over at the resource plant, taking that away as well, then we could look at getting out to 30 plus years down the road, much better than 13 or 15, somewhere, you know, doubling, if not maybe even more. If we look at better compaction, if we're able to, you know, recirculate, if we change how we're covering, looking at a different option with tarps. It's something that a lot of landfills have done, really literally pulling out tarps, but giant tarps weighted down so they don't blow away. Roll those out at the end of the day, and then the next day, roll it back up and put garbage on garbage. So getting better use of our space that we have available, because we're landlocked and this is it. This is what we had to work with, so we got to maximize. And, you know, we should have always been taking care of that space. It's always been finite. This is not brand new. You know, it's once it's gone, it's gone. So let's stop using dirt. Let's, you know, there's times when you have to. I get that. But also let's really assess how much we absolutely need to use dirt to cover instead. Maybe look at the posi shell cover that we've been using, and then ultimately with tarps gives us yet another option. Anyway, so instead of wasting 6 inches of space with dirt on top of the garbage. So,
have you found that more people are becoming aware that all of a sudden this is becoming an issue? That they may not be looking at it, but their children, grandchildren might be looking at it here in another 15, 20, 25 years.
Yep. It seems like it. You know, we've been trying. I've been trying to talk about it more, get the message out there. It sure seems like people are more aware that we are running out of space. It you know, it's always been, oh, someday, or yeah, it's finite. Yeah, it'll run out. Well, now when you start saying, you know, a year, and we're talking, you know, 15 years, even that's hard sometimes, because I think we live in a society where it's all about right now. You know, convenience-based society. Pull into a convenience store, get your stuff now. Let's not worry about 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, 30 years. But when you start putting it on there to say, yeah, this is real, this is happening, and we're running out, and we need to do better, it's finally starting to, I think, sink into to folks the message about we are really running out. We don't have any options. So,
and we seem to still be a pretty disposable society. When you look at cleanups that are going on, just saying. Didn't want to get there, but you know, it was going to be.
Yep. I was going to mention it.
Yeah, I figured you were. But, I mean, and those are, again, some of the challenges, some of the things you're faced with. I know the board, the supervisors, actually, they've been looking at some kind of limitations on some of these citywide cleanups. Mm-hmm. How much more do we allow?
Yeah.
And or do we continue to keep allowing? What are we going to do?
Yeah, it's all over the place with that. You know, it's very broad. Keep doing what we're doing. You know, I like to get the discussion out there, and I'm not saying which way I favor, because I know there's pros and cons to both.
Oh, yeah.
If you say no more citywide cleanups, oh boy, I mean, that can be a problem. But why the quantities? Why do we do this year after year? It has to increase awareness, and we got to talk about it more, I guess, in my opinion, to say, you know, yep, it's working perfectly. I don't think it is. Or we should get rid of it entirely. I don't know if that's the right answer. This is stuff that needs to be discussed. But really, it comes down to, why do we keep having these cleanups? This is my own side gripe, yeah. I guess, is why do we have these every year? You clean up your property, then you're done with it. Why do we have to do it year after year? Why do you keep getting more stuff? Why? I'm just asking why about those things. Why, Jim? Tell me why this.
I'm
answer my question, Jim.
I'm a hoarder, I tell you.
Don't be. Well, but get rid of it. You know, I get it. Clean it up.
There are things that, yeah, it continues. For some people, it just continues to accumulate.
Yeah, and it seems like, and I don't know, you track the addresses of who's throwing away what kind of stuff. I mean, that would be tedious, to say the least. But, you know, is it happening to the same properties over and over and over? So you're getting more stuff, you continue to throw the stuff away. You get more stuff, and then you throw it away. Well, you have that convenience factor to say, every June, we get to throw it away for free. Well, there's costs. I mean, I don't care, you know, how you say it, it's free. Mm-hmm. It's not being charged. You know, you've mentioned that with yard waste, but is it truly free? You're not being charged for it, but is it free? No.
Well,
there's a cost, because it's wasting our space.
Yeah.
I'm guessing the city is, you know, they're not doing volunteer work run that machinery.
I will just say your 65 tons is going to be hit today. If they didn't get hit yesterday, they will today because of the rain.
So. Yeah. Those mattresses got really heavy.
Really heavy, yeah. So, and then after that, they have a fee to pay. Tonnage coming in.
Yep. Then it's probably another 100 ton, you know, that city's going to be paying for, I guess, and indirectly citizens will. But you know, it's should we just take more? No, I'm not a fan of that.
Those are some of the challenges that.
But it is. Should it be more? Should it be more accommodating? Is it an old figure? Should we be accommodating more by taking more or cutting it back? You know, these are all things that we get to discuss, I guess.
As soon as you get an answer for this, we'll really make money. We will. It's one of the challenges. The bottom line is, again, encouraging people to recycle as much as possible, but with what is recyclable, because not everything. I actually had that explanation with someone the other day. He got some packing, and they said, recyclable. And I said, is it recyclable? You know, that's the question. Was it made from recycling?
Yeah.
You're winning me over. Slow but sure.
Slowly. Good. And thank you for, you know, saying that to him too. It's like, but is it? You know, and I think we can all do better, help each other, learn it more. You know, I don't know if people don't want to be the one to be like, no, that's not, you know, and correct people. But, you know, it needs to happen at some point, you know. And the same thing with, a local pizza company, I'll say, with a pizza box that says, recycle this pizza box right on the front cover of it. I had some issues with that because it's not recyclable. But it's, you know, the message out there to say, recycle this, it's cardboard. Well, but it's true, but as soon as it hits the food contamination, it is not recyclable. And then you know, we get an alarming amount of those in our recycling service. And I had some discussions with that company to be like, what are you doing? You know, where? Can you tell me where that's recyclable? Same thing with shipping companies when they put their, you know, the, those mailers that have the little recycle symbol on there and it says recycle at a store near you. Well, where's the nearest Amazon store? Where are we supposed to drop that thing off at? I don't know. I think convenience, too, for companies to say, we want to feel good about what we're doing. We're going to say this is recyclable somewhere.
Yeah.
Well, somewhere. Yeah. And it's tough.
Know your market. Know what's going on locally and do your best.
Yep.
Because it's all voluntary.
It is.
It's all voluntary.
Yep.
And it's as successful as the people make it.
And again, it's not free, but it's not being charged. Yeah. You know, exactly. It's not mandatory, but it's also not being charged to folks for recycling. Mm-hmm. So, you know, be courteous of that convenience and that opportunity to say there's a convenient drop-off area uptown. Let's be respectful of that property and everything that goes with it. And be sure you're only putting the recyclable materials by the criteria on the sign into those containers.
So just because you did just recently do your budget for operating our recycling center and transferring down to the metro, and you know, because that's where it goes.
Yeah.
What are we talking a year budget-wise for that? Because it takes people to be in there.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't hit batteries and start it on fire.
Yeah, as long as we keep it going. And the expense, and we do pull some of the money out of designated funds so that we can offset actual operating costs a little bit. But, you know, we're easily six figures.
Okay, I figured.
Easily.
Well, just fuel to go back and forth with a truck.
Yeah.
Well, is not
our truck going around to pick stuff up. We're looking at how we can try to do this better, too. We've discussed about the recycled, the cardboard in particular that the business recycling picks up. Should we get a smaller or even a full-size garbage packer type truck and just go around and pick up our cardboard at the businesses, drop it off at a facility and try to get some of the money back? It's something we tried to do with a stationary compactor to unload it in there, feed it, and then load it out. But instead, it would be just less hands-on, less labor-intensive to go pick it up, compact it, dig it, dump it, and see if we can recoup some of the money. You know, not really trying to make money in this process, but try to spend less.
You'd love to break even if you could.
Oh, that would be a dream. I would love to, if that could happen. Yeah. Zero would be great.
It's all part of, again, the service to the public.
Yep.
You try, if you can break even, that's great.
Yeah, we do a lot of stuff to try to save that space. We spend a lot of money trying to save our airspace, and, you know, just we need some help. Anything people can do to help with it would be appreciated.
All right. John Rose, our guest on our program today. See? Knew we were going.
Look at that.
Even if we started a minute early.
Ooh,
we're ready to go.
A bonus. All right.
John Rose, our guest on our program. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.